We are live in Paris for the Paralympics 2024, and Toby Davey has dropped into the studio to have a little chat with us, because is this your first time here since we've been here?
It's my first time Paralympics in Paris, but it's not my first time in Paris. I've got a brother who lives in Paris, so I've been out for a couple of weekends to see him and stuff and things like that. So I know a little bit about Paris, mm-hmm. but I don't know it as well as I say, know London or something like that.
I thought you'd be taking well advantage of the fact your brother stays out here. I'll just pop over for the weekend.
Yeah, nice lunch, you know. Just go see my brother for lunch, like many people do. I'll go to pop to Paris
cool.
for lunch.
Nip on the Eurostar, bit of lunch, back to London. Pretty cool. How's the games been so far for you? Because I know you like your kind of rowing and your sailing and stuff like that.
Yeah, certainly no sailing. We'll leave that one. Park that one for a moment, because that's a really hot topic. But no, the rowing has been really good, because it's nice to actually sort of see some of the visually impaired athletes. And, you know, I was able to chat with Sam Murray before the Paralympics to find out how things were going, because he only came into that PR3, that new mixed double sculls category, sort of last year. I think it was. I thought it's a couple of years, but I think it's only a year. So it's nice to sort of chat to them before the Paralympics, and then to come and see them compete. And, you know, him and also Annie Caddick, they did a fantastic job, because on paper, leading into the final, they were sort of 9 seconds, 10 seconds behind Australia, who won the gold. They got the silver, but by God, did they give them a real run for their money.
It sounded amazing. I mean, I suppose the rowing, I mean, there's a lot of excitement in there. I mean, was it as good as the sailing for you? Because I know you love your sailing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different type of sport, but I think, you know, it's just nice to see, you know, sort of people competing on water. And it's that same kind of thing where a lot of sports, and I think this is, you know, this is true for many visually impaired athletes, you get a sense and feel. I know when I'm sailing, I know when the boat's sailing well, and I've done something, I've trimmed my main sheet, the main sail, to get the boat really going well, and you can feel the boat lift. And I think that's the same with rowing. You can feel through the boat how the boat's going, and that's what I think Sam said to us. You know, it's all about that feel. And I think, obviously, you know, there's obviously balance as well and stuff and things like that, which sometimes some visually impaired people are not so good at, kind of stuff, but it's that feel, and I think that's for most sports. Yeah.
Now, I know coming up probably tomorrow, actually, you're going to be chatting with one of the triathlon teams.
Yes. Dave Ellis and his pilot Luke Pollard won a gold yesterday in the triathlon, and funnily enough, his partner Claire Cashmore, she got a silver in the PTS5 category, and she was swimming sort of 30 minutes after he started. That's fantastic for him to get the gold, and he had a bit of bike trouble in Tokyo, so I think this is really good for him.
That's fantastic. I mean, we're lucky enough to come along to Paris to cover some of the action here. We're based at the team's house here, Paralympics GB. There's a lot of action going on here. There's lots going on around the city. There's quite a vibe and a buzz as well, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think that's true. I mean, for those of us who can remember back to London 2012, and I keep on going on about this, but I think it's the same. It's that same sort of feel. When you're walking around Paris, people are saying hello or bonjour. And, you know, there's that friendliness. I think Paris has certainly sort of, you know, sort of come alive, I think, with both the Olympic and the Paralympic Games. So it's really fantastic to, and there's so many volunteers around. You know, you see people directing people on the metro and stuff. So it's been very friendly and lovely, I think.
Well, you've been out and about with John, and you've been on the metro, the U, the L, and
all those letters. I mean, what do they mean, Anna? What does an L mean?
Jane was reading the signs to me. She went, oh, it's platform blah, and U, and L, and M, and what? Who?
I suppose it's one of those things, if you live here, you know what it's like. It's like London. I know the London Underground, like the back of my hand, but certainly in the metro, I have no idea what line... But there are these sort of tactile markings. I only sort of noticed them the other day. There's lines which you can follow with your white cane.
I didn't find those.
Did you not? You've probably got less feeling in your feet, maybe. No, but they are there. But somebody told me about them, and I thought, no, they didn't. Really? But no, I did find them the other day, and that's really nice. And I think the announcements, I don't know whether they've put in announcements in English just because it's the Olympics and Paralympics, but it's nice to have those audible announcements.
Yeah, I heard English, I heard Spanish, I heard German, and some of the train stations. Now, if anyone out there, any of our listeners have ever used, our blind listeners have ever used Kurzweil, you know, the OCR document reader, there's a voice for that. And there was announcements at some of the train stations, and it sounded like Kurzweil was reading.
Well, I thought one of the voices sounded very much like one of the lady voices that you have on the Underground in London. It sounded
really?
It did sound very familiar. And another thing to mention, I know we have Navilens in the UK on all our badges and at the RNIB, but all around the Grimaldi building and stuff, and it's popping up in various places in the UK as well. But here, not only are they around the Paralympics GB house, but out on the metro. I mean, we found one the other day, and I couldn't believe it, because I just thought Navilens just read out some text, but it actually gave us information about when the next metro was coming and stuff and where it was going. So I didn't know Navilens could do that. I thought it's just sort of text, but that's really fantastic.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, it said something like it's Metro 13 and you go around the bicycle barrier and down the stairs. And then it started reading two trains.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that, because I just thought it was just text, you know. But Navilens, it's fantastic.
The UK... Pay attention.
Well, they are. I mean, the National Trust have been trialling Navilens at one of their properties in the southwest. So I think it is getting used. And I think maybe Europe took it up a lot quicker than maybe the UK.
Yeah. I think so. And you're at the swimming as well. Now, I don't know. To me, we go to a swimming pool, that's warm. Because Jane and I were at the Velodrome and it was cooking hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's very warm in the swimming pool, but there's also fantastic atmosphere. Again, I go back to London 2012, but it felt very much like the Aquatic Centre in London. But there's a wonderful sort of display, light show and synchronised swimming at the start. It must be the start of every sort of finals in the evening when people come in. And that was really nice because it all went dark and it was... I know that sounds bizarre, it all went dark, but there were light shows and stuff and things like that.
What's new?
And lots of wonderful music, and that really sort of got the crowd going. And again, you know, sort of such good sort of, you know, sort of French people and everybody else cheering everybody on, and it just, it felt really good.
Well, we've been out and about as well, so Jane and I went to the Arc de Triomphe and we did some stuff there, and I only discovered that Jane doesn't like heights.
Well, you should take her to, there's another arch which is near the La Défense Arena where the swimming's happening, which I think is in the more sort of modern business district of Paris, and that arch is absolutely massive. It's modern, but it's almost like a table because it's got two straight bits and a bit going across the top, and you can go in a lift, or used to be able to go in a lift a long time ago when I was in Paris in the 90s, but you could go up and walk across a glass floor.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, a bit scary. But
Paulina's sitting there going, oh, social media moment, podcast moment, I can get that on video, get that on X and Threads.
And I think that's one of the things, you come to a town like, you know, a city like Paris, and you've got to be go and explore some of the sites and some of the monuments, and you know, there's more than just the Paralympics in Paris, but you know, not to say that the Paralympics are really important, but I think, you know, come and see some of the culture as well.
And we may even go out to some of the other venues and try them out too. And just a little note as well, that if you can prove you have a disability, you and the person you're with get in for free. Well, that's certainly been where we're at the Arc de Triomphe anyway, and you got to skip all the queues.
Well, we walked past the Eiffel Tower the other day, and it was quite expensive to go up. But then, for somebody who's visually impaired, I think it was €8-9. And I did sort of jokingly say to John at the time, well, what's the point of going up there? I'm not going to be able to see anything from the top. But I think there might be a chance that I might be sort of marched up the Eiffel Tower. So
you never know. Anyway, Toby, thanks so much for joining us. I know you've got some more stuff to go and get on your little recorder there. But thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Cheers, Alan. Thanks.